So did anybody see Beyond?
Not yet.
Nope.
Hope to see it this week.
Nope.
Here's the best action movie of the summer.
That's the year that Batman vs. Superman came out, though. Which, by the way, is fucking terrible.
Oh, I've heard that
rented it the other night. It is god-awful. It is a disaster.
Oh, I should watch it then.
This isn't a good disaster. This isn't a fun disaster like Catwoman. It's just boring. I mean, the only fun part of the movie is where Ma Kent is talking to Superman, and she's giving him this speech like, you can be their hero, their savior, or not. Fuck them. You don't owe them shit. Do whatever you want. Ma Kent, everyone. Inspiring.
But her name is Martha, which is very important, apparently.
Yes. And then later on, Lex Luthor tries to kill her with a flamethrower.
Which is does she withstand the flames and just glares
at
him?
I assume all the train tracks were already taken to tie her to.
Podcasts, the final frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. With Chris.
I've been hiding under these stairs, and I love you.
Hey, Mickey.
Bitches love cheese.
Scott.
Oh, I love it when they land face down.
And Fort Max.
He remembered that hole.
So, you know, the month of hell is over with, thankfully.
Woo!
Yeah, never We've really hit the reset happened. Button many times, and we just can't remove that indelible mark it left on our souls.
Yes, we keep seeing threes everywhere.
You could say it's given us a minor headache.
I need some Excedrin.
Well, not nearly as much as Geordi does, because it's time for us to start 5 weeks of Geordi episodes.
5 fucking weeks? I didn't sign up for this.
I question the logic of this choice.
You seemed all for it when we talked about it last month.
Yes, but also it's your idea, and those typically don't go so well.
Yes, but like Geordi, we didn't see it coming.
I mean, there was Armor Hero, and there was Armor Hero.
What else you got?
There's Month of Hell.
That was your idea.
Yeah, but you went along with it.
Well, I went along with that to disarm you and, you know, make you acceptable to my suggestions.
So, like, you roofied him with logic.
Yes. I roofied him with kindness and understanding.
Now I'm addicted. I'm going through withdrawals. So give me my fix and cancel the rest of Geordi month.
No?
Damn.
No, Geordi deserves it. The poor guy, he's had such a shitty life. He deserves a little attention.
Look, after all that time I spent making the cover art for this theme month, I mean, there's no way I can let that go to waste.
You could just ask Cosmic Duck to make a new one. He'll have it done in about 30 seconds.
That'll be so much better than anything you could come up with. Oh my god. Love you, XV.
This is what I waited 45 minutes for you assholes to show up.
Well, it's not like you were doing anything else.
Do you know how much porn I could have looked at in the last 45 minutes?
About 50 your internet minutes. Speed, probably about 3 or 4 pictures.
Half a boob.
Hey, if it's the right half a boob.
Yeah, I want the under half. I like the under half of the boob, not the upper half.
It's all about side boobs, though, isn't it?
It's a little profile boob. That's right. So it looks like it's like Alfred Hitchcock, you know, that drawing of him. Boob.
Or just Alfred Hitchcock's boobs.
Yeah, you really. Well, he had some fabulous moves. That's one of the best hidden secrets in Hollywood. Is his tits were magnificent.
That's actually what they based Jessica Rabbit's animation off of.
I think so, because they had to get the bounce just right, because they were big, but they were also firm.
They were also very glittery, too, but that was an angular condition.
Well, I mean, Marlon Brando tried as hard as he could to catch up, but he really couldn't quite make it before he died.
What about Orson Welles?
Orson Welles was a special.
He was a planet.
Yeah, so I think he wins.
And he was full of green penis.
That's terrible. Mrs. Rogers' fish sticks.
Oh, Maurice, you're the best.
Well, I think Scott has volunteered himself for summary tonight.
All right, fine. Okay. All right, we're going. All right, so.
Oh, yeah, right. this is Booby Trap from Season 3 of Next Generation.
Boobies.
So, yeah, Season 3, Episode 6, Booby Trap. B-E-W-B-I-E. Booby. So we open up in this idyllic scene of a stage set and a early 1980s soft rock album cover.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
Got a little ocean, got a little sand, got a little interracial action going on. And poor Geordi is trying as hard as he can to get in the pants of this very uninterested woman. They're sitting on a nice blanket on a sandy beach. He's offering her these half-cut coconuts full of what I can only assume is Syntharum.
Syntharoofy.
Syntharoofy.
Yes! So he reaches over, snaps his fingers, and an alien gypsy appears and begins playing violin.
And Geordi just looks so pleased with himself at this point.
Yeah, he's cheesing. I mean, all you see is teeth. He's smiling so hard. And so he starts scooching up next to this completely bored woman who just looks like she's about to scream. The hand comes around like a cobra ready to strike, grabs her shoulder, and she goes, okay, I gotta get it.
It hovers over her shoulder for a second.
Yeah.
Yes. She can hear it hiss before it plants on her.
If it was a snake, it would have bit her. You know, so I have to think...
I'm questioning why she agreed to go in the state in the first place.
See, I have to think, like, originally Geordi's plan for this was, like, it wasn't a moonlight date. It was, like, you know, a nice sunny day at the beach. But when they got there, it's like, can you turn off the lights?
So basically she says, I just like you as a friend. He's like, yeah, bit you ugly anyway. And then, ends the simulation.
Poor Geordi, he's such a good guy.
Exactly. He's nice to these women, so they should owe him sex. The scene abruptly changes to...
Although, this girl should be lucky anyone's asking for sex from her when she's wearing this outfit.
Well, that is the blousiest blouse I've ever seen blouse before.
I'm sure it was fine in 1990.
I think she stole like those shoulder pads from Romulan.
Debbie Gibson would not wear this bubble gum.
Oh my god.
You know, she probably thought, hey, Geordi's blind anyway. It's not like he's going to know what I'm wearing. Why should I go to any effort for this?
Oh, God.
With his visor, anything I wear is going to be glowing hot pink anyway, so I might as well just put on whatever.
Or see-through. I'm sure he can see x-rays.
Well, he can see all that stuff. See, that's the thing I don't get, like, about the visor as a concept. To sidetrack a little bit. Like...
They
can see all these other wavelengths, but can't differentiate on the visible spectrum.
Okay, yeah, you make this device that you can plug into someone's brain, literally plug into their brain, that captures the entire electromagnetic spectrum.
Yep.
And presumably including visible light also, but why would you not just make something that only captures, like, the visible spectrum?
I don't know. I think they explained it away in...
Or have it that he could change it, or even something that you could just change the settings on.
Like, maybe you could just get, like, a clip-on thing to put over the visor that filters it down to the visible wavelength.
Those clip-on sunglasses like your dad has?
Blue blockers.
No, Scott, that'd
be the EM wavelengths.
No, Scott, that'd be the clip-on sunglasses like I have. Ask Mickey, he's seen them.
They're very stylish.
Yes.
But really, I think the problem here lies not in the technology, but with Geordi himself.
Oh, so you think if it was someone else... The device works
fine for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, I think he's probably colorblind, but it's a brain thing, not a retina thing. So even if they, give him all this great data, he still can't see colors.
You know, I bet he's not even blind in the first place.
He's just a whiny little bitch?
I was going to say he's lazy, but yeah.
He just can't keep his eyes closed.
Yeah. So the only other thing about this is, she's on a date with the chief engineer of the starship on which she works and lives.
And that's probably how he convinced her to go out on the date with him in the first place.
Well, it's going to be really sad when her room suddenly decompresses. Ah. Yeah.
No, I don't know why your gravity plating is suddenly switched to the ceiling. I'll get a crew down there as fast as I can, or I guess up in your case.
I have no idea why all just your clothing teleported into deep space while you're on duty.
I don't know. Wouldn't that be O'Brien's job?
Yeah, he's the chief engineer.
He's actually in this episode.
Oh, yeah, he is. And he looks like he's 12 years old, which is really weird.
He looks adorable.
He does look adorable. All right, let's move on.
How often does O'Brien show up in Next Generation?
A lot,
not often
actually.
Enough.
A lot, starting with season 4. It was fairly sporadic before that.
All right, well, moving on. That was a 15-second scene where we spent like half the episode on. All right, so the scene abruptly
changes. It's like half the best part of the episode.
So now we're in 10 forward, and Data and Wesley are playing the classic game of three-dimensional chess.
And Wesley makes this stupid move, and he looks so pleased with himself, I'm finally going to beat this robot asshole.
No, I got a pawn. I got his pawn.
I just want to point out how terrible Wesley's uniform looks from side view. He looks like a bean encased in gray spandex.
My fiance thought it was a girl for half the episode.
Really?
Not kidding.
Huh.
But we were three quarters of the way done. She goes, wait, that's a boy?
You should get her to watch an episode of Kamen Rider Double.
Yeah, that's Wesley Crusher. She's like, oh, I thought that was a girl the whole time.
Well, it was the 80s, and that was a pretty common 80s girl haircut, I guess.
So they're in the middle of this asteroid field, and their little bit of exposition is that they're in a star system that was destroyed 1,000 years ago when two species had a total cataclysmic war. So there's all these relics and space debris still floating around, and which I think is a neat mechanic because the communications aliens use were radio waves, which took 1,000 years to get to Earth, and that's how they know about it. Of course, when they warp there in like half an hour, they realize, oh, well, everything ended 1,000 years ago. So there's the other premise for the episode.
But more importantly, Geordi walks in.
Yeah, Geordi walks in and sits down and immediately starts schmoozing up like some barfly in 10 forward. To which Data goes, uh-oh.
Well, Wesley starts the uh-oh thing and has to explain the concept of uh-oh to Data.
Yes.
Because Data's only been around humans for 28 years and doesn't really understand, such complex things.
Well, I know people have been around humans for 38 years, and they don't understand things about basic emotions, so...
Are you throwing shade at your fiancé?
No, that's directed to you, dorks.
38? How old are you?
I'm 37.
Uh-huh.
Right. So we're all about that age, we're making... It's my peer group.
Yes, well...
I just assumed he was talking about Ben.
Ben's 40, and I'm younger than Scott.
I love the fact that I can mention something vague, and then everyone takes it in a completely different way.
Isn't that the whole concept behind making vague allusions?
Yes, but it's funny watching people make their assumptions about it. So poor Geordi's trying to mack on some girl. Then Data gets called up to the bridge.
If by some girl you mean Whoopi Goldberg,
oh no, that comes after.
Yeah,
oh,
that's like. Yeah. That's later, and that's funny.
That'd be some man.
No, at this point, we're just seeing, Geordi from Data and Wesley's point of view, and he's just kind of, staring longingly at this woman sitting at the bar next to him. He's not even talking to her.
And she's not even noticing that he's there.
Yeah.
Right.
So, situation normal.
Yeah.
She's texting.
Well, he's staring at her head going, you have a very small malignant tumor in your brain. All right, so they get at the bridge, and Picard is as giddy as a schoolgirl because they receive another ancient message. So apparently there's a derelict Hulk out there that's still pretty intact.
That's a good trick after being, bouncing around an asteroid field for 1,000 years. Because, like, let me tell you, that shit moves over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a wonder it didn't, like, you know, smash into something, get crushed.
That's
between
a why
he's
rocks. So excited.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm more pointing out, like, how, you know, relatively implausible it is that it's, you know, not damaged.
Well, apparently, the way. Picard speaks so highly of these species. He's like giddy with seeing these things. Apparently, these are like kind of like a well-known thing in the Federation. The story of these warring planets and what happened. It's kind of a romantic story to them, apparently, which is weird. Yeah. So they find a mostly intact ship, and Picard is like, "I'm getting all up in that shit. I'm getting inside her." To which Riker is like, "No, that's dangerous as hell.
Who do you think you are, Kirk?"
Yeah, really. Okay, so we cut to commercial. Herpader. No, opening credits now. Jesus Christ. We're just now getting through the credits? All right, so...
Hey, that was the weakest cold open. Like, these people died 1,000 years ago.
Dun, 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 dun! Dun. Yeah. Hopefully we can survive the tension, guys. All right, and girl. So, Picard and Riker are walking through the corridors, and Picard has the stupidest grin on his face. He's so pleased about this. So Picard goes on this weird...
on about ships and bottles.
Yeah, he goes on this weird tirade. He's like, "Oh, you know, when you were a boy, when you were building ships and bottles, because every boy did that, right?" And Riker's like, "No, I was getting laid. I was practicing..."
Like, "I did not play with boys."
Yeah.
So he goes in the transporter
and
room.
And Data, of course, "I was never a boy."
Yeah. Yeah, he bombs out with Riker, so he goes in the transporter room and tries the whole thing again.
Which is awesome. This is a great scene.
Uh-huh.
It's like you guys build ships
like,
and bottles,
actually,
right?
I played with them, too.
Well, my mom.
Let me consider for a second. Do I want his support? Yeah, I'll give it. I'll take it. Thank you, O'Brien. Yes.
I took that more as a... "Was anyone talking to you, Chief?"
Yeah.
Yeah, because he does kind of lean into the scene, doesn't he? He's like, "Oh, I'm here, too." Oh, the guy who does the slider thing? Oh, that's good. Thanks.
It's Pinky and the Brain and O'Brien.
Narf.
And Larry.
Riker gives him the fuck you look, and O'Brien's like, "No, really, I totally did. I wasn't just sucking up to the captain." So then there's a power fluctuation, which never means anything in Star Trek. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's
random and light.
Yeah. So we get to the inside of the ship, where Picard and Worf...
What set is this? Data.
I'm not sure offhand.
It's darkened from
it's
weird angles.
A combination of sets.
You know, it might be one of their just, like, generic science-y station kind of... sets that they redressed a little bit.
Oh, no, wait, this is Voyager. I can tell from the lack of acting.
Yeah, the strange thing is Chakotay's actually in the scene.
He plays the captain.
So, yeah, Robert Beltran is in the scene. So they're on the bridge, and they find a desiccated old body, and which, of course, Worf goes,
Picard, like,
"Admirable, they died or the
host." "Look at this shit! This is awesome! Look at this zombie motherfucker right here! That's rad as hell! Worf, scan this tits!"
Picard shotguns a beer, crushes it on his forehead, and goes, "Fuck yeah!"
He's all ready to sit down and just fly the thing himself.
He starts lamenting,
"Data, desiccate
like...
those remains." He's going to have O'Brien send some jumper cables over and jumpstart the thing.
So he starts lamenting of like how like simplistic and beautiful the bridge design is, even though it's 1,000 years old. And the things that get
hands down to the control panel, it's like a go button and a stop button.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like an Atari 2600 joystick with like a stick and one orange button.
Oh, it's a manual steering column.
Right.
That must be where Riker got the idea.
It's such an old spaceship, the shifter's actually on the steering column itself. Yeah.
It's a push-button automatic.
All right, so enough of the joy and ebullition from Picard. Let's go watch something more interesting, like Geordi be sad at a bar. So he's sitting there staring at the chemical composition of his synthahol when Charles Barkley in a dress comes up behind him.
You know, I like this. I like this vague notion we're developing that Geordi can't take like even the slightest pleasure in ordinary things because like all he can see is what everything is made of.
Yep. Every time he looks at a woman, all he can see is like, you know, what she's digesting. Oh, I see you're 2 days from your period. I'll talk to you in a week.
No, can't get down from there.
Pile of ulcer.
Yes.
Ooh, that's quite a cyst you're working on there, isn't it?
Right.
Now, why doesn't Geordi work in medical?
Your pores are remarkably bacteria-free.
So he's sitting there, and he's just heavily sighing to himself, and he starts trying to get Guinan to explain to him, why don't girls like me? And Guinan's like, because you're a whiny little bitch. And basically insults her and says she's not a woman, which is, good job, Geordi.
You know, I got a theory why he doesn't get anywhere with women. He's an engineer and a nerd. So he sees everything as a problem to be solved and a plan to be made.
Yep.
This whole, like, you know, just be natural in yourself with someone doesn't really compute to him.
No.
So, Guinan, what type of men do you like? I like bald men with British accents.
Yes, even though they say they're French. The confusion turns me on. So, this is a weird little scene, because, yes, she does mention pretty obviously she's talking about Picard, but how he protects her, took care of her. But what she says is like it's going to happen in the future because she's a goddamn Elorian. Right, but it also could be, yeah, but it wasn't Picard, though, not yet.
Well, no, it was.
It's more Guinan nonsense. They didn't bother to write out.
Well, remember,
the X-Files, we just drop mysteries with no clues what they're going to do with it.
Well, no, remember when she did go back in time to like Samuel Clemens area time?
No, she didn't go back in time. That was her from that time period.
Right, exactly. So to her, that was the past, and Picard, so she did know Picard in the past.
Right, Picard went back in time, not her.
Yeah.
Right. No, you're right, because, yeah.
But the point is, did this solve any of Guinan's mysteries, or did it just create more?
Basically, it only kind of put together, like, why she has a connection with Picard.
Right, because in her past, he was there, but he doesn't know that yet, because it's in his future, because he goes back in time. But anyway. So, yeah, Guinan's like, yeah.
What?
Never mind. We're just going to stay on that Guinan for. We'll just keep going.
Yeah, so Guinan is like, no, I can take care of myself nowadays. I discovered vibrators. So, yeah, Geordi starts talking about, well, I can fix things, but I can't make a woman love me. Why? And she's like, yeah, you're doing fine with me. He says, you're different.
No, you're different.
Yeah. So basically, if he doesn't try too hard, he's fine. Okay, whatever.
Oh, Guinan should have just like told him, you know what girls really love? Eye contact.
They like guys with pretty eyes. Not milky white orbs like a mind flayer.
Can I sell you another drink?
All right, it's over.
Oh, I like how, too, like, he opens up the interaction with Guinan by asking if she has anything stronger than what he's drinking. She does, like, of course. Would it help? No.
Yeah.
You're beyond help,
Jordan. Star Trek Beyond Help?
Ooh. Nasty. So back on the bridge, Wesley, the young woman at the con, is looking very attractive. So he's just saying something as weird is going on, which annoys Riker immediately. And he's like, what the fuck do you mean by weird, bitch? We're scientists. Say something.
Look, this is the 24th century. We don't use that word anymore.
Yeah, use your words.
Well, he did. He used the word weird.
That's not a good one. So Picard and Worf and Data are back in the other ancient derelict ship, and they managed to get the main power working again, because that's a good idea. Just turning on old warships.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Nothing, apparently.
So there's just dead aliens everywhere, which... it's pretty gross. They do find, apparently, the captain's logs
on these little data crystals, which Data managed to get one working. And they watched this really crazy...
They found his USB T-lights.
Yes.
It's VHS on USB.
Well, I was going to say it was more like, well, what kind of format is it in? Sir, it's in Real Player. We have no chance of learning how it works.
It requires an update.
Data's like, well, what does it say? Buffering.
Buffering.
All right.
Yeah, so I like how analog this video is because it was taken 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes. He uses his tricorder to power it, and...
No, he uses his tricorder to CSI it.
Yes, a Vogon from Hitchhiker's Guide appears on the screen. Blah, 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 my crew is courageous. I made a mistake by coming here. It's all my fault. Now we're going to die. Boo, frickety hoo.
It's not important what that mistake was.
Picard is like, oh, shit, yeah, this is amazing. We've seen everything on the ship. Let's go home.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. It's like going to a movie theater, watching the previews, going, okay, we're done, and then walking out.
I'm sure someone does that.
Probably talking to a few of them.
He just saw the trailer for ID4. Was like, oh, this movie is, we're about to watch, is not better than this trailer, so we're done. Get sheets.
The beauty shots of the ships, though, are just gorgeous. The detail they put into the little derelict ship
I love this practical ship they built out of old model parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks great.
I was talking about this on Twitter a little bit, too, when I was watching the episode. Like, season 4, you wouldn't have got this much detail on a ship like this. It would have been made out of, like, redressed parts of other little ship models, if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's because they didn't have enough ship models to recycle by that in season 3.
That's true.
Yeah, but I don't remember, like, parts of this one distinctly turning up anywhere else. It seemed to just be a one-off for this episode.
Which is rare.
The other thing, too,
I'm going to guess it probably because something happened to it that they couldn't use again. Like, they dropped it.
Or they blew it up.
Or it got stolen.
The other thing, too, is, like, the music cues when they're, like, panning across the ship.
Yeah, there was some out-of-place music in this episode.
I thought in general season 3 was, like, really good with how its music was put together.
Yeah, but there are a few scenes in this that the music is just like...
Are you talking about Geordi's Gypsy?
No.
Super ominous for no reasons.
I have to admit that I didn't really pick any of that up, so I feel kind of ashamed.
I'm not sure if it's ominous so much as it's trying to, like... have some grandeur to it and maybe just went a little, like a couple octaves too deep.
Speaking of octaves too deep, Picard's back on the bridge and he is just gushing like a giddy schoolgirl.
Oh my god, that was fucking amazing. Did you see that ship? He was so old. I love how old things are sometimes. Man, did you guys see that? Oh, we're right next to it. I was on board that ship. Did you see? Oh my god, I gotta write this down in my diary.
Captain's log is just a long squeeze.
Everyone on the bridge is like cutting eyes at each other. Everyone's laughing at him.
Even Troy. She's like, I'm sorry, Captain. I didn't know you were a human being that liked things.
Right. I thought you were just a bundle of hate that nobody liked. I mean...
All right, I felt that you were a bundle of hate that nobody liked.
The crew felt that, too.
Hell, Starfleet knows it. So they're like, okay, well, that was fun. Time to go back to doing whatever the fuck we were doing, which we apparently didn't establish, or I missed it.
No, they said at the beginning they were there to chart the battle.
Oh.
Whatever that means.
And they mentioned that they were calling, like, some... towing some, they contacted some museum something or other to just tow the ship back.
Oh,
Space
I see.
Smithsonian.
Yeah. Right.
Or Space AAA. Alright, so they're like, well, fuck it, let's go. So they take the Enterprise out of park, put it in reverse, and then boom, they get blasted with radiation and their energy levels start dropping. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Wesley popped the clutch again.
Yeah.
No, not radiation. How will we ever survive radiation in space?
Yeah.
We're not equipped for that.
Not like we have a duranium hull or anything.
Maybe duranium's extremely conductive.
That would make a great idea for a hull. Captain, apparently there's one crew quarters that's been decompressed.
That's what we fucking need. We need a convertible Enterprise.
Where the dome comes down and hurts the air, like, wave in the wind.
A force field, but like when the captain's feeling saucy, he can like, just lower the top and just cruise and let the space pull through his hair.
Holy shit, that is awesome, dude.
Let space blow through his hair.
No, seriously, that is awesome.
Yes.
Now, you're about to hate me. Janeway did it. Remember during like Year of Hell when the bridge was all destroyed and there were just force fields holding things together and she was staring out in empty space?
That never happened.
No.
Actually, yeah, I guess technically you're right. It never did happen. Never mind. I retract. All right. So we zoom down to Geordi in engineering trying to figure out what the hell's going on. Everything's working. Everything's fine. He can't figure it out. So just like with his love life, as an engineer, he's also impotent.
But, you know, he decides, let's just shift this up into the highest gear we have and see what happens.
Right. We're exerting power, so something bad's happening. Let's exert more power.
We're going to be stuck in the mud. What happens if we floor it?
Right.
Well, you know, still not moving. You know, we probably ought to turn this engine off before it blows up.
Right. Have we fallen into the same trap that killed them? A 1,000-year-old booby hee-hee trap?
I better drag her up to the bridge and consult her about how the radiation is going to kill us.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry, Captain. I didn't have much notice. That's why my wig looks like shit.
You know, I was kind of wondering that myself. It's not just me, then. Good.
No, so she's wearing a thirsty-ass wig this episode.
I mean, like, the whole early part of season 3, her hair was not looking that great. And she went through, like, 3 or 4 different kind of wig styles, too.
Right. And the fact that you see the price tag still hanging off the back of it so they can return it, not a good sign.
Yeah. That's some mini pearl shit she's got going on.
Very good.
I'm referencing all kinds of shit that nobody's going to get.
I mean, I get it.
But you're old.
And I live in Tennessee.
Yeah, you have to get it. It's like Grand Ole Opry jokes. You're like, ha ha, I get that reference. All right, so they're trying to figure out what they're doing. So in less than 3 hours, the shields are going to drop, and they're going to die of radiation poisoning, which is terrible.
Or just get superpowers.
Terrible. Yeah, like, it worked for the Fantastic Four, didn't it?
Okay, so what would Riker's superpower be?
Giant legs to swing his legs over everything.
Yeah, I was going to say like Mr. Fantastic, they stretch out.
And Worf would become like the thing with ridges all over his body.
Troy becomes the Invisible Woman because she already is.
So who catches on fire? Oh, Wesley.
Geordi. Oh, yeah. No. Geordi does because he was the one in the house fire and he was a kid. So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, remember this bitch?
Herbie.
What, yes. Mickey?
Data is Herbie.
Ah, yes.
All right, so Geordi's done engineering, trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And because none of the engineering staff want to have a conversation with him, he's having to talk to himself and then to the computer because none of the other engineers want anything to do with him. The girl in the background goes, okay, he's talking again. I'm going to walk off screen. And she disappears. How can I get the fuck out of here before he calls me over?
This is always one of the problems with the engineering problem episodes where, like, it just becomes apparent Geordi has no staff.
Well, Geordi's the chief engineer because he's the only engineer. Everyone else there, they're just janitors.
They're to clean up after him. His candy bar wrappers and his Mountain Dew cans.
Doritos dust.
Yeah.
On the L cars. Smeared on there. It can't pick up fingerprints anymore because it's covered with Cheeto dust.
Yeah, you know, like, on TV, those touchpad surfaces look all cool and everything, but you gotta imagine that's gotta get really gross really fast.
Day in, day out. There's so many janitors. They're just walking with Windex, wiping down L cars everywhere they go,
constantly.
Which is a problem because the touch also registers a bunch of button presses too.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the occasions where people like literally sit on the control surfaces.
Riker.
Yeah.
Or stand, or put their legs on them.
Just like
also Riker.
How many times has someone like butt dialed a warp core ejection?
I just took a big dump. only the finest in butt detection software. Oh my god! All right, so
Detective Riker, William J.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, do they have, like, you know, butt prints on file for all the crew members so the computer can register, okay, is this a butt that belongs to someone on the crew?
I'm sure they do. They transport people up and keep their patterns, right? I don't know. So, Geordi's in engineering trying to figure out what the hell's going on. He stumbles through some files. Apparently, an L. Brahms was one of the designers of the warp engine and the power systems to the Galaxy-class starships.
Ice cream.
L. Brahms is my favorite rapper.
Which apparently Geordi didn't know, even though he's the chief fucking engineer. He doesn't know who designed this thing. Didn't, like, read that somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he like, this
not
is like,
buying that. That's bad writing.
Yeah, I agree. He should know everything about this from birth to death. The fact that the main engineer that designed this, he's like, oh, who's this person? That's weird. Fuck you.
No, see, it. She's a woman. He doesn't. Clearly thinking that, oh, she must have just been a secretary.
Oh my god.
Just looking, just browsing over. Anytime sees a woman's name, just glazes over.
Wow.
Counselor, man, counselor, doctor.
Nurse. Yeoman.
But, I mean, any competent writer could have said, had George said the lines, bring up the files of Leah Brahms, who designed this engine.
Right, it doesn't mean
but
that
he has the computer tell him who she is.
Right. And that doesn't mean he knows what she looks like or even knows that it's a woman. I mean, he could just read this person's reports on how they designed the engine. I completely agree with you. That's just dumb. Why make it this big shock?
A better way to structure this would have been, like, Geordi to go, computer, who was the propulsion designer for the Enterprise? A doctor, and then have the computer fill in the rest.
Exactly. Even that would have been better. Right.
It's just bad writing.
I have to admit it. All right. So apparently Brahms, I can't remember. I think Brahms' voice starts coming over through the computer because now it's like talking to the files, her files directly.
Yeah.
All right. So back on the bridge.
Geordi being stupid immediately starts treating it like a person. Hi, I'm Geordi. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Geordi.
You can see El Carlos roll its eyes.
Hi, I'm Geordi. What's your name? And tell me you like gypsy violin.
somehow less effective. Strange that. So back up on the bridge, Crusher is like, everyone's going to die, so let's all be together when we die. So we're going to start shutting down life support and conserving energy. And Picard's like, ah, oh, fuck. Whatever.
Okay, so like, Dr. Crusher's plan is to group people on the odd numbered decks. Why?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's like, I understand you want to shut down half the decks.
But they don't even mention that.
So, like, no.
They just say, okay, we're moving everyone to odd numbered decks, and that's all that's mentioned of it.
Like, shouldn't the plan more be, let's move all non-essential personnel to the interior-most portions of the saucer section. That will be where the radiation penetrates last.
Right.
It'll give us a little bit more time.
Yeah.
No, we're just going to put them on the odd-numbered decks.
Or move everyone to the saucer section in case they need to separate.
Well, that wouldn't really work because they don't have any engine power anyway.
That would be expensive to film.
And they don't have any engine power to move the saucer.
And they'd
anyway.
Have to dig out the big model again.
Yeah. You know, they only ever shot that saucer separation once anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess twice, because they probably did a second one for Generations.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I remember reading that they did not like having to use that big model again.
I'm sure it was, you know, quite cumbersome.
Yeah, so apparently if the shields go down, they have 30 minutes before they die of radiation poisoning.
Yes, which means they can be bombarded with that level of radiation for 30 minutes before Dr. Crusher can't fix them.
Right. Ugh.
We should not say there won't be any problems before then. They'll probably pass out long before 30 minutes.
They will explode into clouds of blood, you know, somewhere along the way probably, but...
I think it's funny they don't mention the fact that Data might survive this. Because usually it's like, oh, it's biological. Data will be fine. They don't mention anything like that.
They never really do when radiation is threatening the whole ship.
Yeah, maybe a little phrase.
Well, Data doesn't bring it up because he's trying to be polite and not remind everyone.
As soon as you die, I'm going to make puppets out of your heads and have conversations with
you. Radiation can mess with system. I mess with memory pretty badly, I think.
Yeah, probably. So, Riker and...
ionizing radiation for you.
Yeah. Riker and Data are over on the ship's bridge again, going through the other record, trying to find any clue of what's going on and how to fix it and not make the same mistakes that these idiots made 1,000 years ago.
And all they keep finding are...
old videotapes.
Yeah, old multi-generation videotapes.
So, FBI Jordan's... warning, what?
Yeah, $100,000. Oh shit. So Geordi's trying to figure out a way to make the engines more efficient, to put out more power, to compensate for the energy drain. So he's thinking like rotating the dilithium crystals. He's thinking of all kind of crazy shit. What if we polish them with a rag?
What if we put up some colored spark plugs?
Yeah. What if we use
maybe a spoiler?
You know, if we chrome that warp core.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they do that in the finale?
In Star Trek and Beyond?
Oh, maybe we should put a spoiler on the engines.
So they mentioned Utopia Planitia and the Mars station where it was built, and Brahms' computer voice is still talking to him.
Yeah, so basically he ends up with a holodeck program of the design room.
Right, right. So where they, yeah, the ship, which is kind of cool. I think this is neat. This is a neat, you know, outside the ship kind of stuff they get to show, some of the history of the ship. So even though they're having power drains, he goes, you know what? Holodeck. That's the way to do this.
Hey, it worked for Voyager.
Burn more power.
All right. So he walks on. Yeah,
so much Moriarty.
Maybe he would have an idea.
Yeah, he's smart. He can help. So outside the window of this holographic room, you get to see the Galaxy class being built, and it is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. They're finishing up the saucer section at this point in history.
Yep, it's awesome as hell. All those main support beams are there. They're still putting on the skin. It looks awesome as fuck.
Every once in a while, there's a little flash inside where they're welding or getting electrocuted.
I like how the Bug implication, if you're not really aware of things, is that you're looking at the creation of the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're looking at the creation of the USS Galaxy.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not stated, but, you know, to the casual watcher, they're thinking, oh, look, the real Enterprise. But no, it's not.
No, yeah, it's the very first of its line, which is the USS Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, whatever. So he's like,
USS or is it NX Galaxy? How does that work?
Do what?
It was a prototype.
Well, it was the first of its line.
So that would make it the NX, wouldn't it?
No. It wasn't a prototype. It was the first of its line, which doesn't mean it's an NX. Well, I don't know. Well, like the Excelsior startup is an NX-2000, but it went to...
But that was also an experimental technology test bed.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. The Galaxy class wasn't experimental technology. It was just a new ship with a new design.
And the Defiant class was also an experimental technology ship, therefore an NX designation.
Right. And they can go from NX to USS.
NX only served for a major experiment, not just a new ship then.
Exactly. Right. Precisely. Because the old Warp 5, you know, there was the first Warp 5 engine. It was a totally new technology they were trying out, so it was an NX.
It was also the first NX ship. Like,
yep.
It was an NX class, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, technically.
Yeah.
Cool. I love geeking out in Star Trek. I really do. I just love it.
Hey, as much shit as I give you for, like, you know, all your Star Trek Online starship bullshit, I mean, I'm into the, like, technical aspect of it, too.
Oh, I love it. Oh, and, well, I'll get to that later in the episode. So, Geordi's trying to figure out. He wants to, and I'm like all giddy waiting to mention something. So, Geordi's like, well, I need, you know, the personal logs of this person to help me, you know, so they can explain to me what's going on.
It's not even that. It's like, you know, can't you just, you know, give me your take on it, like your personal view on this. Have a little right. personality. That's the only reason he wants in the personal logs. He doesn't even really ask for the personal logs directly. It's just that's what would be necessary to do what he's asking.
Right. So, yeah, he tells the computer, again, who just is a little too helpful. The holodeck is just a little too helpful. He goes, well, yes, I would just like to be able to talk to someone about this. And then, again, the snaky venom hand of death hovers over his shoulder and then strikes.
It's like, okay, well, show me where these circuits should go. Yeah, and then just the hand out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then apparently they go on his right shoulder because he suddenly gets grabbed by my
surprise vaginas.
By my third grade teacher, Mrs. Echterling? I don't.
Echterling? Was she a ghost?
I was wondering that.
Oh, that was her name.
Well, it might have been her name, but that doesn't disprove that she was a ghost.
That's true. My whole third grade could have been like the Sixth Sense for all I know.
Now, I like the way Abrams Harold looks like it's made of like spun bread.
Wait. Spun bread?
Yeah, like if you took a loaf of bread and sent it through a loom and made a wig out of it.
I'm on board.
Like, I bet you if you took a knife and you sliced into her hair, you could make sandwiches.
It's like Challa. It's like... So, Geordi looks around and looks very annoyed. He goes, computer, did I fucking ask you for a simulation,
and the computer
bitch?
Sounds so pleased with itself.
Yeah.
It does!
It's got a real people personality. So Brahms is staring at her with these doe eyes and these sagging cheeks. Looks like she talks like Droopy the dog. And
she has that sort of a Indiana Jones don't look at the Ark kind of thing going on with her cheeks.
So apparently this is attractive in the 24th century?
I love a woman who looks like she's melting.
A little bit. It's like it's a little.
Well, would Geordi be able to tell?
Yeah.
How does Geordi even see holograms exactly? Do they look the same as people?
It's very bright.
Probably not. I imagine they'd be see-through. Oh, that's creepy, dude. I never thought about that.
They're all full right. of stars.
So, apparently with this fake Leah Brahms standing in front of him now, he figures out some way to reduce the power suckage. I don't know. Who cares? So Picard's like, oh, good. Thanks. Appreciate that.
So did you solve the problem? Well, no, I just kept the shields on so we don't die as quickly.
Oh,
I'll get
okay.
back to you on the rest of it. I've solved one of your problems, though.
Yep, yeah. I've just spent an hour in the holodeck to buy us 15 extra minutes.
That's right. It's the most engineer thing I've ever heard him say. Because in fairness, this is how engineering does work. So Data pulled over all the is now just grave robbing, apparently, and they're taking stuff off this old derelict ship with dead bodies on it and stealing their shit. So he brought all the VHS tapes over, and they're going to start looking at it. Most of them are too decayed to watch, but they're trying to repair and watch a few of them.
There are VHS tapes.
Yeah.
So some of them have like this
time clearly collection.
I was going to say, it looks like they recorded Cinemax over this, but it's the scrambled version, so you just might occasionally see a boob or a butt. Okay, so they're trying to figure out. Okay, they're trying different ones, trying to find one that works.
Trying just that tracking right.
Yeah. That little damn knob that's so hard to turn. All right, so Geordi and the person with more personality than Geordi standing there is trying to figure out what to do next.
Well, you know, if they leave the circuits like this, it's going to burn out the whole system.
Right, so.
Oh, yeah, and then Geordi calls up, like, hey, did she ever do this really specific thing? And then did she do this other really specific thing? And apparently, conveniently, she did.
Right.
And it's just like, so can you, like, synthesize a personality for her? Yeah, but it'll probably be inaccurate. Yeah, whatever.
It's like 80% accurate.
Yeah, that's enough, right?
It's exactly. accurate enough for you to fall in love with.
Yeah.
But see, the problem is that 20%, that's also murderous tendencies is included in that 20%.
Oh, okay.
So, right.
I'm not my computation power is not starting to accurately reflect the bitchiness that the real person has. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I cannot logically simulate the illogic of a woman. Oh, God, I'm never getting laid again.
Of course, the funny thing is, the thing that I don't get is that, oh, are you doing this thing that was obviously done in a professional setting, so she would be in professional mode, and yet all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, what is a holodeck mainly used for?
Fucking. Yeah.
So what does a holodeck think it should be doing? Creating romance. So that's what it does. The holodeck does what it's supposed to do.
Oh, Geordi, you're so big and strong. Call me Leia. So whatever. So now she starts just immediately sort of think like a person. Now I do think this is interesting because this does lead into like photonic life forms later on that the computer can basically cobble together a fake personality given all these different parameters, which is kind of neat because you can do that with today's technology with Google searches and social media posts
or chatterbots.
Yeah, you can start rebuilding a person's personality.
Yeah, they did this with Minuet.
Yeah,
she likes jazz except for Dixieland.
Because you can't dance to it.
Yeah.
All right. So back on the bridge, we're watching an old Cinemax tape. And he's saying, well, we can't move. We can't fight. All of our weapons are being drained. The more energy we put out, the more it gets drained. And we're being
lashed. They poured acetone in our gas tank.
Yeah. So the acetone assimilators. And I didn't know it came. Yes, I didn't know they came from this episode. They're actually in Star Trek Online, and they're a fucking bitch.
Well, they're kind of a bitch in this episode, too.
They really are. They did a very good job making them this way in the game because you shoot them with beams and stuff, and they do like they take like 1 point of damage, but they start doing more damage. You have to hit them with torpedoes, or you're just fucked. They're such a pain in the ass. So good job, game. You made them just as annoying as they were in the episode.
Did you try summoning Leah Brahms?
You know what? She might actually be an NPC somewhere in the game. I don't even fucking know. Maybe he's in as a photonic character.
I cast Leah Brahms at the darkness.
So they apparently these acetone assimilators, they hide them in the debris, and it does, makes a trap. You go into the field, it starts to drain your energy, and the more energy you output, the more it drains, the more radiation it puts at you. So it's a perfect glue poison trap.
So Data, how many of these things are out there?
Thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yes. Oh my God, they're so fucked.
And apparently everyone knows all this and all this stuff's happened in this area, but no one's run into these things before?
Or figured it out. Maybe they all just died.
There was a sign saying, do not go in, danger. But Picard thought, ooh, old ships.
I'm white
they
European.
Ignored the,
I can go
they
wherever
ignored
I want.
The minefield signs.
Yes.
All right. So now one of my favorite scenes is we cut back down to the holodeck with Leah Brahms and Geordi are fighting about to attack each other. They hate each other so goddamn much.
No.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
It's all wrong. You idiot.
This far and no further.
Both of them are just acting their asses off.
See, this is the accurate record. Recreational Leah Brahms.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is the part Geordi forgot about the following year.
Spoilers.
We all know where this is going.
I don't know. These are 30-year-old spoilers.
Or maybe he likes this part of her. We don't know what his interests are.
Yeah, he's an engineer. He probably liked the challenge.
I think he likes being the bottom. I think that's the thing.
He's just like Chakotay.
Now I'm just imagining Geordi with a visor in the shape of the tattoo.
What?
So he looked like 7 of 9. All right. So Geordi's like, look, I know my ship inside and out. You don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, look, I designed this thing.
See, now I'm imagining LeVar Burton 7 of 9's cat suit.
I mean, at this point, he could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
Now, not so much.
Or, hey, Mickey would have pulled it off of him.
I think all of us would have pulled it off.
Really. I, yeah, I mean, honestly, let's just be honest here.
Don't take his word for it.
Oh my god. Reading rainbow. No, it's not just a reading one. All right, so they figure something out. I wasn't paying attention. I was too distracted by his body in a cat suit. So they're all up on the bridge trying to figure out what's going on. Okay, what the hell's going on? Oh, but there's like a 0.00000001% change in the field of this very particular heading, and they're going to try to go for it because the field's slightly weaker there.
Yeah, because like the theory is these things have been out there for a long time. Some of them are probably broken, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So fire the phasers at the thing that absorbs and uses it the energy to kill us.
Right. Right. Not the brightest moment.
Worf kind of recommends against this.
Yeah.
Hey, idiots.
But no, they just do it anyway.
Yeah, I think Data's actually.
Why do they even have Worf?
To push the button.
Yeah.
He's the token Klingon. It was the 80s.
Diversity!
Yes, we're aboard the USS Diversity.
Not the USS Discovery.
No.
Or maybe he is. We don't know yet.
So they just start shooting random space rocks, which I might add does nothing to these rocks.
The phaser just set the stun.
Yes. So, of course, they shoot the phasers out, expend all this energy, which gets gobbled up by the acetone assimilators. Shock, shock, shock. And Picard's like, damn you! Damn you!
And the radiation intensity increases.
Yeah, so basically they've just screwed themselves. So, like life normally is, it comes down to the engineer to save everyone's ass.
So I think next we go to the observation lounge where all the lights are turned off. Because, that tells you that you're in a crisis. They've lost a bunch of shield power.
In fairness, that is how I know how my life is going down the tubes, when I'm sitting in a room in the dark. that's when I'm having a personal crisis.
And now they only have, 23 minutes before the radiation kills them when the shields fall?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Under 2 hours. They have less than 2 hours now.
Oh, damn, Geordi was just starting to make progress in the holodeck, but... Or did we not get there yet?
If they move, they die. If they don't move, they die. No matter what they do, they get drained, and they feed the thing killing them. Okay. So... I like how Geordi has explained, I'm running a holodeck program on holodeck 3. And Picard's like,
why?
What? Oh, it's vital for my research. It's not that I want to get some nookie before I die. Have a, threesome with like Vulcan love slaves or something.
No, he just makes like 2 or 3 more Leah Brahmses.
Ugh. So many cheeks. That's like 18 cheeks.
You just layer them together on top of each other. It's called waterfall of cheeks.
It's so soft.
It's like sleeping in right. Play-Doh. Oh, God.
Interesting more notion. Like
a... All right, so there's a counter movement. So now Geordi starts figuring, wait a minute, if we output energy, it has to adjust to absorb that energy. So there might be some lag time between there. We can do a burst before it absorbs it and might be able to do something. Also, there's a model of the Enterprise refit, Enterprise A refit on the desk, which is cool.
They had
because reasons.
They had the big Erdl model of the Enterprise D also, which I had one of when I was a kid.
Yep, as did I.
I had the small one.
I wanted the big one because it was the one where the saucer would separate.
Yep, that's the one I had. It was awesome.
Yeah.
No, the small one saucer separated.
Oh.
No, I think the big one did too. All right, so they're trying to figure it out. Okay, if we do this, if we punch it, and then just enough to get us moving, maybe we'll coast out of here just with the energy.
Oh, no,
we...
you're skipping some steps there.
Oh, am I? Okay. Well, there's 12 minutes left, and I'm getting
tired. Geordi's idea is he notices the lag time, so well, if we just keep making adjustments faster and faster,
oh, that's right.
We could just like brute force our way through this.
That's right.
That always works with technology.
Yeah. And
yeah. So turning the knobs really quick works.
So in other words, he's trying to speed run this.
Yes. Yes, he is. That's exact. He's not just, well, yeah, he's trying to do a speed run. Then he finds out, okay, so I can't press A fast enough to do this myself.
Tool-assisted speed run.
Yep. That's exactly where I was going.
Oh, and also the creepiness of the hologram giving him a shoulder massage.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
The shoulder massage taken from, like, some speech... The hologram taken from some speech records.
Yes. This, I don't understand. What in her personality profile that she just starts giving back rubs to people randomly?
In the middle of, like, some seminar that she's giving.
Yeah.
Yeah, how literally are we taking these records here?
Oh, I'm sure there's some liberties being taken. I think hey, Mickey's right. I think the computer's just like, well, I'll sex it up. That's what you humans like.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing about this. Like, you know, Geordi acknowledges, okay, we'd have to do like 100 calculations, 100 adjustments per second probably to do this. Even Data couldn't make those inputs.
Lies.
I thought about this. And like,
oh, well then, by all means.
Data could probably mentally make the calculations fast enough.
But could he input it into the ship?
Exactly. That's the weak link with Data. He has to make manual inputs just like anybody else. And even though he can do that a lot faster than any human crew member, can the console keep up with him?
That's true. 1,000 per second might be a little
fast.
And
could he even do it fast enough?
Can he move that fast enough? And can the physical control system actually keep up with his inputs?
Right, right.
And at this point, they don't have any kind of, test hookup thing to connect Data directly to the computer like they do in Season 6.
Nerd. So, no, I think you're completely right about all of that.
So, the hologram has a great idea. I'll do it.
Yeah. Now, this is something I don't understand, though, is... All right, so Picard walks in, and God, if he had only walked in like 5 minutes earlier where like the machine is giving Geordi a back rub, that would have been so much better. Excuse me, Geordi, what the fuck are you doing?
As it is, Geordi only barely restrains himself from saying, oh, Captain, this is my girlfriend, Leah.
Yes, he is like, we're going to get married and have babies. So now they have the conversation. I don't know why is there this scariness of letting the computer take over? I don't understand.
They kind of do it already. They just tell the computer to go to some place, and the computer does everything itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I don't understand. I mean, you have to have think even the modern day car, how much computer processing just a car has. You know the Enterprise is almost self-running. So why is this one task something they're so scared of letting the computer do? It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, I really like older cars better.
Computer, the human mind.
That's right. You're going out of space. You're going out of space. That airlock is for you. I'm just tired of it.
Brought to you by the human mind.
See how good it be is? Me, I'm good at talking. Picard sitting in the dark by himself, staring at space. Riker comes in to his ready room, and Picard's explaining what's going on. All right, Riker, here's what's going on. We're considering giving total control over to the computer, with this grave voice. It's like, why? Why is this like a topic?
Going, the computer has total control as is.
Yeah, and then so Riker's like, well, you know, I'm glad computers can take orders, but. Not really comfortable with them, you know, giving orders or doing stuff on their own.
Or women.
It's just a strange distinction that this is like this is the conflict now. We let the computer do computer stuff? I don't know.
I guess the problem is more one of, yes, the computer automates the things that they tell it to do to make the processes simpler. At no point, though, do they, like, basically, you know, tell the computer, okay, do all these things in sequence correctly and save us.
Yeah.
Like, so, I think it might be more the matter of the abstraction of the concept.
I guess, because Picard...
There's just a bunch of shortcuts on the L cars for batch files.
Yes.
Like, okay, do that one, and then do that one.
Right.
And then they're telling the computer, just choose whatever you want.
And the Enterprise has an AI built in. It has an artificial intelligence to keep track of all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look at what it does with generating holograms. 3.
Ooh, what?
Which it's one the one for Superman 3. They've got her built into the center of the computer core.
No, I mean, the computer is great at, like, you know, processing directives and making its own decisions on how to do things. Look at the holograms it generates.
Look at the one it generated this.
No,
yeah,
okay,
look at,
like,
the thing
yeah.
it's been doing this episode.
Yeah, no, there's Leah Brahms, but there's also Moriarty, who was generated right. and basically made to be alive just based on one sentence from Geordi.
That was totally misconstrued, by the way. Just a slip of the tongue can destroy your starship. Great!
Yeah? Like, when you start to think about it in those terms, their apprehension at turning total control of the ship over to the computer feels a little more justified to me.
But how terrifying is it that you're living in basically in the living body of a psychopath for your entire voyage, you know? Don't say the wrong thing or the computer will take it literally and we'll all die.
I mean, like, well, you know, how different is that from how some people grow up? Don't say the wrong thing or you'll get beaten to death.
Well, that got dark real
okay,
quick.
Just stop for a second on Moriarty here. Geordi's thing that he told the computer to do is create a villain who could defeat Data.
Right.
Why don't just, like, arm Moriarty with a pistol and turn off the safety?
Yeah. So the other thing is, like,
Data would be afraid. It's like, blam, Data's dead.
Right. And the other thing is, like,
from the back and, like, you know, fireworks go off.
If the computer takes things that literally, it'd be like, you know, computer, make me a ham sandwich. Transporter beam hits him and turns him into a ham sandwich.
For breakfast?
No, not for breakfast, you idiot. Nobody eats ham sandwiches for breakfast.
But
yeah, I mean, just imagine if the computer took everything literally like that. It'd be a nightmare.
And yet it seems to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't interpret everything literally. It's just kind of a dick.
No, yeah. I think it's just a little inept.
47 kiloquads of dickitude.
It's sentient, but it has no hands, and it's tired of this cruise shit.
I can't strangle you physically.
Until you go on the holodeck.
So the best I can do is irritate you.
You know, that really explains, too, why the holodeck breaks down so often.
It's intentional.
Yes, it's the computer's desperate attempts to just murder all these people.
I was going to say it was trying to commit suicide on itself over and over again.
Well, it's got better ways to do that.
That'd be a good plot for an episode. The ship's trying to commit suicide.
You have to stop it. It'd be a Troy episode. That would suck.
Yeah.
No, it would be a Crusher episode for some weird reason. All the really weird episodes end up being Crusher episodes because they don't figure out what else to do with her. So just give her the weird shit.
Well, if it involves the holodeck, it should be a Crusher and Barkley episode.
Ugh. So they're running simulations, trying to figure out how to get out of here, and sometimes the simulations work. They don't change any of the parameters, and then the simulation fails. So I'm not really sure how that works out, but okay.
Well, like Jordan says, this
the
time
computer
the computer
has a D20 programmed into it.
Yeah, I mean, it said RNG killing them.
Yeah.
RNGesus.
I mean, it's basically a speed run, right? So...
So they get 2 minutes left, or they all die.
He hasn't figured out how to properly seed the RNG yet.
So
he's never going to make world record time like this.
So they're going to do the big pulse of energy and change the outputs randomly quickly to overload the Aceton assimilators, and that should give them just enough oomph to get out of the field.
Yeah, Geordi decides, you know what, we're going about this completely wrong. We're trying to technology our way out of a technology problem. Let's simplify it.
Let's just turn everything off.
Get out and push.
Basically, yeah. Like, the only way they could have made this less
Why
energy
Why don't we decompress
would be...
the shuttle bay?
Exactly.
There you go.
Use that
you.
To get their initial push. Yeah, but no.
And
they
we'll just
they,
coast on out.
They mm-hmm. blast the impulse engine for half a second just to kill their inertia, which I'm really glad they even mentioned that.
Yes.
And then they turn off everything to not give the radiation any more energy, which makes sense.
Except for just, you know, their reaction control thrusters.
Yeah,
and minimal life support.
Yeah.
Minimal life support.
But isn't kinetic energy still energy?
Well, it's quite hard to absorb if you're not pushing up against a thing.
Whoa, that's true.
But no, these aliens have advanced science.
Okay, so like... So, like, one of those rocks with the astroton assimilators in it that's absorbing the energy from the distance, like, if you went out there and started hitting it with the hammer, would it absorb that energy and then, you know, re-emit it as harmful radiation?
I don't think so, only because in the Star Trek video game, you can hit it with a photon torpedo and you can blow them up. So it takes, like, a physical kinetic hit to actually destroy them. Energy, directed energy, it absorbs. Kinetic energy, it can't absorb. That's my theory.
So if they put Riker in charge of Enterprise here, he could ram them and get the ship through them.
Yeah, he'd come out the other end of the field. It'd be like 1,000 things glued to the hull, like bugs on a windshield.
Or they could just let Troy drive instead of Picard.
No, because they'd find a planet to hit.
Scott, I have bad news for you. They're surrounded by the remnants of a planet.
Oh my God, was Troy already here? All right, so for some reason, Picard says, I want to do it, and knocks the ensign out of the way, and then he starts driving. I want to be helpful. Look at me. I'm driving.
You know, it's his ship.
I can drive.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I still have my license.
I'm just like the other captain that doomed his crew earlier in the episode. I'm so noble.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
so they,
you know, you have Geordi volunteering, and it's not like he spent, like, a year driving the ship around or anything previously.
All right, so now if they're coasting, now they're using the RCS to try to navigate this asteroid field. No joystick. Very disappointed.
No, that was only equipment on the Enterprise E, not the D.
Okay, right. Scott, what powers the thrusters?
It's a reaction control system. It actually is compressed gas, just like we have like on the space shuttle. Same basic principle. It's just compressed gas. You spurt it out. And
so they got giant helium tanks.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's compressed. Yeah, it's a compressed gas they use to do it, absolutely. Yep.
So it's not a combustion thing, it's just farting.
Yeah.
If they wanted to get, like, a lot of power out of their reaction thrusters, they could, like, you know, use a thermonuclear thing.
So just Orion that sucker?
Yeah. But no, I mean, yeah, you can, like... At its simplest, you could open a tank of water to space and, you know, you would get the same kind of reaction.
You get thrust, baby. If it's pressurized, it's pushing against you. Newtonian physics. Woo! I was going to shout out to my boy Newton. So,
such a goddamn nerd.
But yeah, ignition is not necessary for a thruster like this.
No.
Yes, except in space, we need constant thrust for constant velocity.
Yeah, well, we're getting to that.
Yes. So they're coasting peacefully through this asteroid field. And the other thing is, one thing that did annoy me about this episode is you never actually got to see any of the astron assimilators. You just see the rocks and stuff. So you don't actually get to see the little things.
They blew all the metal budget on that ship.
Yeah.
Apparently, all they needed was like just an anything, man.
Just anything.
I love Picard's power drift the Enterprise. He Tokyo drifts the fucking Enterprise.
He certainly fucking does. That's how you drive a starship, bitch.
He moves like they do. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, because you get the thing where, like, as you're passing all the different asteroids, like, Data is all, okay, we have a problem. The gravity from all these little objects is starting to pull on us. We're not going to have enough momentum to keep going.
So wait, you're telling me the robots in the background going, oh my God, our chances of successfully navigating an asteroid field are 3,000,000 to 1.
Yes. You know, speaking of navigating through an asteroid field, I love the fact they think that we only need 2 thrusters to navigate through an asteroid field.
Right. Well, because space is 2-dimensional.
Right, that's good enough.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to ignore that specific line. Either that or, like, those navigational thrusters are vectoring.
They are, but still.
Yeah.
But still.
That line is canon. You need to accept it.
Sadly.
it does just prove that Khan would have killed the shit out of Picard. Khan, Noonien, Singh versus Picard, Khan would have won, hands down. Because they would, because no matter how much Shakespeare you quote back at him, it's not going to kill him.
They'd just be stuck in a Shakespeare loop. They go through the entire works.
They're like exhausted, like just taking shots of whiskey and tin forward, like getting hoarse because they keep talking.
Picard's like struggling to remember Titus Andronicus.
You say all that, but all I really want to see is just like 5 minutes of Worf and Khan punching each other.
Oh, that'd be awesome. It'd be like
except
a gift.
What happens is Worf would punch Khan. Khan would react and slowly turn back and smile and like backhand Worf across the entire bridge.
Yes.
Yes. Like 30
feet. I know.
So I hate to interrupt this love fest, but let's take a look at this love fest. Geordi is making out with a hologram, y'all.
It's so sad.
Can we make fun of this now?
Yes.
Because. And he licks his lips afterwards, like, photons. you taste like ozone.
You know, that's a good question, too. Like, does it smell like, you know...
Desperation? Yes.
Okay, yeah, no, but I mean, like... does it smell like the whole room is full of charged particles? Because it is.
God. So he kisses her, and like
it lets the holodeck support smell-o-vision.
Oh, it does, because it can make little chemicals wherever. It doesn't matter. So just like every other woman in Geordi's life, as soon as he kisses her, she disappears. Literally.
After some creepy dialogue.
Yeah, that was just fucked up, man. That's... All right, so there we go. That was the booby heat trap.
Whenever you touch the ship, Geordi, you're touching me.
Oh my god. That is so messed up. He's going to be you naked and vaseline up rubbing on the warp core.
Matrix, you're inserting yourself into me.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is so terrible.
Geordi, stop trying to stick your dick in the reaction chamber.
I'm realigning the crystals with my dong. Yeah,
with the longest thing I could find. All right, so there you go. That was done. And yeah, I still have a minor headache, so
just wait, lingering. It'll get worse.
Oh, it's gonna upgrade to a medium headache.
Yes, let's see what kind of headache we have when the month is over.
All right, so you're driving this turd. Where are we heading to next?
I'm opening the document now to see what the next episode is supposed to be. Because I can't remember my own sequence. Good job, me. Ah, yeah, the next episode is The Mind's Eye.
Yeah.
Which is season 4, and it's listed on the wiki as episode 24. Okay. But there might
which
have been... No, that should be 24. I don't think there was a...
Yep, 24.
Yeah, there wasn't a feature episode that season.
So what is Mind's Eye about?
That is Geordi getting brainwashed by the Romulans.
Oh, yes, okay.
So maybe a little bit more than a minor headache. Just a bit.
just a little.
Poor Geordi.
I think...
Bless his heart.
Bless his little blonde heart. All right.
He's like the O'Brien of Next Generation.
I guess Star Trek just had a thing against chief engineers.
Yeah, they get no respect. They do all the work and they get no respect.
Well, Scotty got off pretty cleanly.
Yeah, he did, because he was the smartest engineer. He was the best engineer. He knew to lie through his fucking teeth about everything all the time.
And he drank heavily.
Yes, like a real engineer.
Yeah.
Hear that, Fort Mac? Start drinking.
Right now.
Oh, I don't want to imagine a drunk Fort Max.
I certainly do.
There's some table dancing involved, I'm thinking.
There's nothing better than a lady full of whiskey, let me tell you.
Especially if the whiskey stays inside. Because once it starts coming back out, ugh. Yeah.
Of course, you know, then you also had Trip, too, which...
I don't know. Trip made a better captain than engineer.
He made a better underwear model than anything, really.
I can't argue against that. But whenever he was in the captain's chair, awesome shit happened. He was such a great captain.
Well, I mean, it's like, it'd be like putting McCoy in the captain's chair of the Enterprise.
Yeah, everything worked out fine. He went, fuck this. This is stupid. We're going home. And he just turned his around and leave.
Space is cold.
Yeah, no one died. Everyone's fine. No diseases. We're home safe. Fuck y'all. So, yes, everything would have been fine.
Put on our space medallions.
What the hell was McCoy doing before the motion picture?
Bring a beard?
Oh.